We are limited in our human language, and the limitations of our minds and the limits of our experience to name what God is. The Taoists say simply that the Tao is indescribable, and the Jews carefully write G-O-D in lowercase, acknowledging that we humans mustn't be so arrogant as to think that we can define the limitlessness of God. For to add a capital G would mean we have confined the limitlessness to a noun, a person, or a place. Oh my, we've really chewed off a big question this morning. What do we mean when we use that three-letter word, G-O-D? Well, to start, I'm not interested in a debate about whether God exists or not. This is a room that confines experience and desire and imagination and reverence. For those who have decided that God doesn't exist, then I hope you are content. And for those who have decided that God exists, then I hope you are content. And if either of you need to convince the other team that they are deluded, I'll leave that to you to do. I'm more interested in a genuine curiosity between people who are rooted in this world and the experience of being human and willing to share their vulnerability with each other. Willing to share what gives them strength, what scares them, what cracks open their hearts. That's what I think is more important than debating existential ideas that are so remote from real everyday life. So what if in your time of helplessness, your courage comes from your dearest friend or a stranger or from a warm, loving Mother God? What matters is that you reached out and you received what you needed. What source do you trust? What source do you lean into? I want to know what sustains you, what emptiness pulls you into his arms. I want to know what you reach for in the middle of the night when grief lies next to you. I want to know what inspires you to stand up and speak up for what you care about. I want to know what blows your mind with unfathomable mystery and wonder. I want to know what breaks open your heart with great tenderness. What moves you to beauty? What transforms you with hope? What brings a song of joy to your lips? These are things, I believe, that point us in the direction of our source. All of these human experiences, some might say, are rooted in a mystery that some call God. The unseen mover, the creative spark, the ground of all being are some of the names, descriptors of this word, G-O-D. Well, what do I mean by God? I guess it's only fair that I start with myself. Am I a theist or a non-theist? Everyone is waiting to know. You know, I have to admit I'm hesitant to answer that question. Because I think when someone asks me that question, I have no idea what they're really asking me. I don't know what thought process have led them to the question, what references they're tracking, what life experiences they have had that are informing those words. Nor do I know what the question behind that question really is. When someone asks me, do I believe or not believe in God, what do they mean? Are they looking for confirmation for their experience or an opportunity to tell me about what they think? Are they asking me, do I think there is a personification of the human imagination that is in control of the universe? Do I think that there is a supernatural power that operates beyond the laws of nature? Are we getting into a discussion on creationism? Am I being asked, do I believe that God created the world in 7 days, or was the universe created in one gigantic big bang? Is this the science versus superstition question that's being asked? Perhaps my intelligence is being evaluated, because only stupid people could believe in God. Or perhaps my emotional strength is being evaluated, as in the sense that only emotionally weak people need the crutch of God. Is the questioner looking for a moral compass to help them in making a very difficult decision? Or does the questioner want confirmation of their fledgling feelings and thoughts about God? Or are they testing the waters for safety in order to share their dark night of the soul, their questioning, or perhaps their lost belief in God? These, as you can hear, are the complicated waters that swirl around that deceptively simple question, do you believe in God? Are you a theist or a non-theist? It's been an interesting week or two contemplating this, and I've had some fascinating conversations with people. And I look forward to many more in the month ahead in the Soul Matters group or Theology Pub. We are going to be asking this question and exploring it. What do you mean when you use the word God? I take the position that I do not know what do you mean by God unless you tell me. I've heard that even in churches that have a creed and do not encourage questioning of beliefs, that when people do start asking about what they mean by God, they're surprised by actually the variety of responses. And when people toss off a quick response to my question, I will also often follow their, oh, God's love, or, oh, that's easy, God's the creator of the universe, with my own question. When was the last time that you experienced this God of love, this God of creation moving in your life? You see, I'm truly, truly interested to know through direct experience this ineffable mystery. So, to the question, how do I respond to that question? What do I mean by God? I have 3 sources for my response. I can ask my mind what it thinks. I can turn to my heart for its response. And I can consider my direct experience of this transcending mystery and wonder. How would you answer it? Where would you go for your answers? Do you go to holy books? To music? To nature? To science, or to some other source? When I ask my mind, what do you mean by God? I can be sure of a fascinating and frustrating response. Because the mind, my mind, thinks that it can know God, and so looks for definitions of God based on what the mind can understand. Telling the mind that it can't know God is the frustrating part for the mind. So the mind, or my mind, ignores that and launches into definitions about God. God is love. Neat definition. Seems simple enough, but the mind responds, then why does this so-called loving God let these bad things happen to good people? My mind goes, we got a problem. How about God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful? Another very neat definition that covers a whole lot. But then my mind says, we have a problem. If God is all everything, then why do humans have free will if not to use it? And on it goes. If God Y exists, then X must be so. If God Y doesn't exist, then this other X must be so. And pretty soon my mind runs into doubt, because there are so many definitions for the existence of God as there are for its opposite. My mind creates doubt because my mind desires, no, requires the ultimate argument, requires an intellectual argument that cannot be refuted as proof that God exists. This being impossible, in my experience, my mind shouts, false, wrong, I'm confused, does not compute. Now, if I go to my heart for the answer, what do I mean by God? My heart responds with the poetry of the mystics, the passion of warriors, the music of the spheres. When the Sufi mystic and poet Rumi says, let the beauty we love be what we do, there are a million ways to kneel and kiss the ground. My heart knows what he means. Beauty is God. Or when the mystic St. John of the Cross writes, I did not have to ask my heart what it wanted, because all the desires I have ever known, just one did I cling to, for it was the essence of desire, to know beauty. My heart knows what he was referring to. And my heart understands the source of the universal vision of warriors like Joan of Arc and Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. My heart understands the passion that inspires them to believe that they can achieve impossible goals. There is a deep root of goodness in their vision that I feel is connected to a God vein that runs through existence. And when I listen to the music of Vivaldi or Mozart or Leonard Cohen, it allows my being to soar beyond my small self to a space near limitless, and that too is in the direction of God. If I go to the source of my lived experience for the answer, what do I mean by God? Well, I'm fortunate to have had direct experiences of that transcending mystery or wonder, or at least that's how I've experienced them, which lead me to conclude that there is more to our lives than can be seen by our eyes or touched by our hands, known by our hearts or fathomed by our minds. It's this direct experience of the interconnectedness of all life that leads me to a definition of God that lies close to what is called process theology. Process theology sees the world as creating itself, unfolding from the first moment to the edge of now. Everything affecting everything. And the sum of this everything is greater than its parts, because together there is this added extra, this pull, momentum, attraction, that is the essential force of the unfolding universe. In the essence of this universe, there is a lure, a pull toward beauty, an invisible dynamic that the process theologians such as Henry Nelson Wyman describe as creative interchange. Creative interchange is in and part of me as it is every other substance of the universe. My theology is an embodied theology based on experience. Well, it's not surprising that someone who has been an artist for most of her life, has spent most of my life working with people, and is heart-centered, that I am drawn to a definition of God that is embodied, creative, and lives in the relational, lives in the space between. I cannot count the times that I have been in nature or in the classroom or dancing, singing, moving, loving, when I have been struck by a moment of grace that touches what I understand to be the all in all, the universe, the limitlessness, the indefinable something that is the very fabric of the universe. And in that moment, I feel awe. Whether we define ourselves as atheist, agnostic, or theist, what we all share is the human experience of an impulse towards reverence. It is the experience of awe that binds us one to all, that dissolves differences, and that mends the separation of heart and mind. Open-minded, open-hearted astonishment for the mystery of the unknown, which can be seen in the depths of the nighttime sky or in the delicate smell of the skin of a newborn baby. The impulse towards reverence has mysteriously been part of our human journey since its beginning. It seems to be part of our human DNA, this impulse towards awe and wonder. And the indescribable infinite of existence is worthy of our humbleness. So what draws you to your knees in awe and wonder? I will not judge you if you name it God, and I will not judge you if you name it something else. We are only human beings, vulnerable and imperfect, searching, yearning human beings with an impulse in our hearts towards reverence.